The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In claiming the grace of Jesus' transfiguration, we can begin with Paul's exhortation in the second reading to his spiritual son, Timothy, whom he calls his beloved with the love of Jesus Christ. He says that Timothy is to bear his share of the burdens of the gospel, the hardships, and in one sense, we can't control what those burdens and hardships are. They come with the bad news of the day. When Father Hahn invited me for the parish mission, I had no idea that there would be a major military operation and the globe would be spinning with it. And it brought back the memory of my childhood. I was about 10 years old when the revolution in Iran took place, when the American hostages were taken at the embassy. And I remember just being glued to the television, watching that screen, every detail unfold. And I remember going back day after day, listening for hours to what was said about the situation. And at a certain point, I felt that I was being held hostage too by this event. It introduced new fear and anger, even hatred, into my life. And I remember thinking, as I'm looking at the television in our home, that this evil is entering our home where we live. Of course, the hostages later are released. Life, in some sense, goes on. And so it is always this side of paradise. Peter, James, and John lived in the Roman Empire, and day after day, there were burdens, there were hardships. But the grace of the Transfiguration is that Jesus takes his friends to a higher place. He lets them survey everything from a new perspective and a new power, the perspective of God himself in the power of the Most Blessed Trinity. And Peter, James, and John are initiated into this reclaiming, this liberating of their eyes. They behold God's glory. And they experience the reclaiming and liberation of their ears. They hear this conversation that they see Jesus having with Moses and Elijah. They hear the Father's voice. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." And when they're initiated into this conversation, into this vision, what's going on is more than just a person holding some stone tablets. That's Moses. And the other one in the flaming chariot, that's Elijah. What was Moses' mission? To reorder the life of a whole people so that each one of them and all of them together could move from slavery to freedom, from being held hostage to coming into their own as who God made them to be. And who is Elijah but the great conqueror of all the idols, all of the false devotions to lesser things? That's the conversation. That's the vision. And it starts from the very beginning. We heard of it last week in the temptation of Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis. Right where it all goes down, Adam is a passive spectator to his wife's violation. He's an absentee husband. And Eve, rather than dialoguing with the one the Lord gave her, she starts having lesser conversations with the serpent. And what does she see but the fruit? That's the occasion of the temptation. So the devil has already gotten her ear, and her eye is now becoming captivated. So she sees the fruit. I wish I could use a prop. I don't have any fruit with me. Oh, maybe this. Maybe this. What are Eve's thoughts as she looks at the fruit? First of all, that it's really good for consuming. I can consume and be consumed by this fruit all day, all night long. What's the second thing Eve notices about the fruit? And by the way, when this little thing goes on, there's an apple with a bite taken out of it. It's already a setup. That's the second thing Eve sees. She sees that it's pleasing to the eye. It's hypnotic. It's captivating. If you put a real human being here and a gadget here, who's gonna win? The gadget. All sorts of teenagers on dates these days, you know, what are they doing? They're looking at their phones at the table rather than each other's face. And finally, what's the other temptation of Eve as she's looking at the fruit? She thinks it's going to make her wise. Oh, it's filled with information, all sorts of information. It's limitless information. It's right here that the Lord Jesus steps in with his friends and says, "We are going higher." Because the plan is Jesus, the fruit of Mary's womb, the fruit that's going to be returned to the tree of life, which becomes the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because only the Lord is able to know and separate the two. What is Jesus preparing his friends for? The goal of his mission. What's the goal of his mission? Take and eat. He says over the bread that he's going to transform into his body, the wine he's going to transform into his blood, he says to his friends, "Eat and drink this." What Eve wasn't patient enough for the Lord's self-revelation, the Lord, the new Adam, gives freely. Jesus is pleasing to the eyes. The apostles are they're falling into a stupor, prostrate on the ground because of the glory. St. John will write in his gospel, we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth, which means Jesus is the one who makes us wise. He is divine wisdom itself. And so, in the next 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, at our evening mission, we're going to probe this mystery of what it is to go higher and to have our vision and our listening and even our ability to touch as embodied creatures. Jesus touches the apostles when he bids them rise. How that's going to happen in our time, for our time. Because I've shared with you the bad news of this gadget, but the flip side of it, one story from my parish of St. Vincent's in Fort Wayne, when I was gathered with some of my parishioners around the Mardi Gras fire a few days ago, throwing the palm branches in the flames, this couple that I had never seen before came right up to me, maybe in their late 30s, and they had 4 or 5 children. And they introduced themselves with the words, "We've only been to Catholic Mass twice in our entire lives. We're not Catholic, but we've come to your parish for these 2 past Masses, and we've been studying the Catholic faith for months." And they went through the list of all of the things about the Lord and his church that they found on the gadget. They were going into Father Michael Schmitz's Bible in a Year podcast, Catechism in a Year podcast. The wife is saying she's part of a Catholic Mom's YouTube video series. And they're pointing to each of their children, 4 or 5 different ages, and pointing out all the resources on the internet available for Catholics their age that their children are already plugged into. And the punchline is, they just said point blank, "We want to be Catholic. How do we do that?" Sign you up. I will tell you, we are living in these times. On the one hand, slavery, hypnosis, hostage to the gadgets. On the other, the fruit is so ripe that we don't even have to pick it from the tree of this world. We just need to hold our hand out in front of it, and the ripe fruit will fall. I solemnly assure you that there are people who come to this parish with regularity for the first time. They're not Catholic. They've been away from the church for many years. And they will come and they will see what we have and want to know and love the Lord. They will want to find in this parish their home. So the next 3 days is going to be the discernment of what can that look like? Spiritual exercise is in the bulletin. It's words from a priest named Father Jacques Philippe, but they could have been written by St. Peter, St. John, or St. James. And my proposal is that we actually commit these words to memory over the next 3 days. Each of us can experience that in Jesus' eyes, we are loved. Think of the apostles looking at Jesus in the Transfiguration, chosen by God in an extremely personal way. We often have a feeling that God loves in a general way. He loves all men. But being loved in a global way cannot satisfy us. And it is absolutely different from the reality of the particular, unique love that God the Father has for each of his children. God's love is personal and individual. God does not love 2 people in the same way, because it is actually his love that creates our personality, a different personality for each. There's a much greater difference between people's souls than between their faces, says St. Teresa of Avila. When the Lord brought his friends up the mountain to look into the face of Moses and the face of Elijah and to see that love reflected on his own face, Peter, James, and John discovered what we're still learning, that the psalmist's prayer is being fulfilled in our midst, before our very eyes. Lord, let the light of your face shine on us, that we may be saved.